Welcome to the winter edition 2021 of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking magazine, being read at Dissenters Hall, Sidmouth, on Wednesday, the 1st of December, 2021. I am Paul Hannan, the editor and a reader for this edition, with readers Hayden Thomas, Gerald Wealdon, Gillian Crooks, and our producer, Mike Flynn. Should you have any problems with equipment, please contact Wendy Eagles on 07552 766 382. In part one of this magazine, Gerald begins with a feature on a new Armed Forces breakfast initiative. Hayden tells a remarkable story of a Bosnian rotating house. Gillian reports on romantic encounters in a Cuban zoo. And Gerald brings us news of a great event for Exmouth in 2022. Gillian brings our first half to a close with an item on Budleigh's fine Furlinch Museum. In part two, Hayden brings us news of Guinness World Records. Gerald continues with a shaggy dog story from Nepal, and Gillian takes us on a tour of the city of Bath. Finally, Hayden closes our winter edition with a Christmas favourite poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas.
Armed Forces Breakfast Club. Veterans young and old in Exmouth are being invited to enjoy breakfast and a brew with others who have served in the armed forces. November saw the launch of the town's new Armed Forces Veterans Breakfast Club. The primary aim is for serving members and veterans to meet together in a safe and social environment. There are no subscriptions or fees to pay. Just buy your own special veterans breakfast made by your hosts, Franklin's, in the Strand. Then enjoy some good old banter, meet old comrades and new ones. There is no association with any charity or organisation. It's a club run for the members, by the members. A room has been allocated every Thursday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. on the first floor of Franklin's restaurant in the Strand. The Veterans Breakfast Club is one of the fastest growing veterans associations. It began in Hull in 2007 and was the brainchild of Derek Hardman, who thought of it when groups of veterans used to meet at a friend's garage for a brew and a butty. In 2014, veterans from other areas visited and said what a wonderful idea it was, and Derek decided to expand the project nationally. The network is not affiliated to any charity and is not itself a charity, but acts as a customer base for the 3,000 plus military charities in the UK. There are no subs or joining fees. All any veteran or service personnel will ever have to pay for is their own breakfast. Even then, clubs tend to ensure that the cost of breakfast for Second World War veterans and those in hardship is taken care of. For many, the Breakfast Club concept forms a bridge between the Royal British Legion, which tends to have an older membership, and younger veterans who want to meet others with shared experiences. One veteran explained, "When you come out of the forces, it's the camaraderie you miss. When you've done time in the services, you are quite unique to other professions because you have seen things and been through things that others haven't." To learn more about the Breakfast Club, contact Peter Round on 0785 909 8598.
Bosnian builds rotating house to give his wife better views. Seeking to please his wife, who had wished for a more diverse view from their family house, a Bosnian self-taught innovator has built a rotating house, allowing his wife to watch a rising sun in one moment and passers-by in the next. I got tired of her complaints and frequent refurbishing of our family home, he said. I'll build you a rotating house so you can spin it as you wish, Voyan Kusic, 72, told Reuters, standing in front of his new house that attracts the attention of visitors. Situated on a fertile plain in northern Bosnia, near the town of Sribac, the house spins around at 7 metre axis designed by Kusic, with the view of cornfields and farmland changing to forests and the river at a desired speed. The house can make a full circle for 24 hours when it's at the slowest speed, while at the fastest spin, it can make a full circle in 22 seconds, Kusic said. His wife did not wish to comment on the new house. Kusic said he was inspired by Serbian-American inventors Nikola Tesla and Mihailo Pupin, and that coming from a poor family without the opportunity of a good education had forced him to look for ways to make things by himself. This is not an innovation. It only requires will and knowledge. And I had enough time and knowledge, he said, adding that he had built the house completely by himself. The project took 6 years to finish, except time off for a hospital stay due to a heart condition. The house is more resistant to earthquake damage than a stationary house. I asked doctors to try to prolong my life for at least a year because I had this project in my head, and nobody else will know how to complete it.
Zookeepers at Cuba's National Zoo say several species of exotic and endangered animals took advantage of the peace and quiet brought on by the coronavirus pandemic for romantic encounters that resulted in a bumper crop of baby animals. The newborns include leopards, Bengal tigers, zebras, giraffes, antelopes, and oxen, a rarity officials attribute to the many months the zoo was closed during the pandemic, said zoo veterinarian Rachel Ortiz. Although the pandemic has been negative for humans, in the case of zoos, it was beneficial, Ortiz said, Rupert told Reuters. In particular, our park has had more than 10 births of high-value species in danger of extinction, and that may, at some point, restore biological diversity. Ortiz said that during a normal year, the prying eyes of too many visitors who flock to see the zoo's exhibits limit reproduction. The National Zoo is a favourite attraction for Cubans, with 1,473 specimens of more than 120 species, including large animals such as elephants and rhinos. Cuba, a Caribbean island of white sandy beaches and turquoise waters, popular with tourists, closed its borders for nearly 2 years amid the pandemic and imposed strict quarantine domestically to limit the spread of the coronavirus. By not having the public in the exhibition areas, the animals are more calm, said Ortiz. Shortfalls of food and medicine during the pandemic hit the zoo at times, but Deborah Meso, a doctor who oversees the African savanna exhibits, said zoo workers were able to dedicate the time needed to assure the animals were successful in their endeavours. Meso said the birth of a baby giraffe, a lanky, knock-kneed spotted female named Rachel, had been especially moving. The birth of a giraffe stood out, Meso said. It was a great achievement, a great joy for me. Visitors can now see the baby leopard and giraffe themselves. The National Zoo recently reopened to the public.
Exmouth to host 3-evening live music event next summer. A huge new music event live in Devon, which is expected to attract some of the UK's hottest artists, is coming to Exmouth next summer. Live in Devon will take place at the Imperial Recreation Ground, Imperial Road, Exmouth, on three consecutive evenings, Friday the 2nd, Saturday the 3rd, and Sunday the 4th of September 2022. The events are likely to attract more than 15,000 music lovers over the course of the weekend and bring a significant economic boost to Exmouth and the wider area. Councillor Nick Hookway, East Devon District Council's portfolio holder for tourism, sport, leisure and culture, commented, "It will be a fantastic opportunity to see high-profile artists of international reputation staying and performing in East Devon, as well as avoiding the need for residents having to make long journeys to our big cities, thereby reducing our carbon footprint." The headline artists for each of the shows will be announced in the coming weeks. Look out for announcements to come.
Fair Lynch costumes. More than 3,000 period and theatrical costumes dating back to the early 18th century are housed and displayed in Budley Salterton's Fair Lynch Museum. Fair Lynch was purchased as an art centre and museum for the town in 1967 by Joy Gown and her two sisters, who had a large collection of period and theatrical costumes they wanted to house and display. The costume collection now has more than 3,000 outfits and accessories, with examples from every decade from 1730 to the present day. The displays in the costume room are changed every year after careful choice from the Fair Lynch costume collection, which is one of the finest in the Southwest. The oldest costumes date from as early as 1700, and not only are there ladies' dresses, but also military uniforms and children's clothes, together with the relevant accessories and some handsome men's embroidered silk waistcoats, circa 1780. There are also textiles, including quilts. The costume department is headed by Jill Salen, a specialist in historical costume, a lecturer and author of Corsets, Vintage Lingerie, Historical Patterns and Techniques, and Vintage Swimwear. Jill discovered the collection when researching a book and became a volunteer after retiring to Budley Salterton. The Fair Lynch costume collection is an interesting mix. Budley Salterton has a long history of people retiring here, as well as seaside visitors, and the collection reflects this. There are dresses for all occasions, from beautiful silk dresses for an embassy ball in Paris, circa 1830, to a milkmaid's cotton dress, circa 1900. Much of the collection originates from Joy Gorn, who enjoyed the theatre and produced plays and pageants locally. From her books in the collection, it's clear she has a deep interest and knowledge of dress history. There are also many special garments from local families, all with creditable provenance. It was a surprise for Jill to discover, in a box of petticoats for pageants and display, a manufactured corset, circa 1878 to 73. So exciting! She was able to date it, as there is a similar example in the Kyoto collection in Japan.
And now we have news from our local sight loss charity, Devon In Sight. We are aware that our clients have experienced significant challenges during the pandemic and will continue to face these as restrictions continue to lift. Many will need support to rebuild their confidence in leaving their homes and to improve their physical and emotional well-being after isolating at home for so long. The good news is that we will be maintaining our helpline and you will all be able to access our information, advice and guidance service and the emotional well-being service, the equipment bursary fund and the assistive technology partnership. You can contact these services via the Helpline Partnership on 01392 876 666.
From backflips to pogo sticks, Guinness World Records are smashed. From a backflipping gymnast to a man pulling a car while walking on his hands, this year's Guinness World Records Day, held in London, is as colourful as ever. Talent from around the world has smashed all kinds of records for the 18th annual GWR Day. If you want to be a Guinness World Record title holder, just go for it, said 29-year-old Ashley Watson. The British gymnast broke his own record for the furthest backflip between two horizontal bars when he managed to propel himself 19.7 feet through the air from one bar to the other. Find what you're really good at. See what the record is. Train for it as hard as you can and do it, he said. Meanwhile in China, balanced on his hands, Zhang Zhuang pulled a car by a rope tied around his waist for 50 metres in just 1 minute and 13.27 seconds. Pumped and cheering after his record break, he revealed, "The skill is having a very strong waist and abdomen and good endurance in your triceps, arms and shoulders." Other winners include American Tyler Phillips, who broke the record for the most consecutive cars jumped over on a pogo stick, 5. And Takira Ikeda from Japan, who managed 45 BMX bike time machines in 30 seconds. A time machine means putting the bike in an increasingly fast spin while standing on the frame, one of the most complicated tricks performed. Meanwhile, 32-year-old Laura Biondo from Venezuela bagged a couple of certificates for her ball control skills, including the most double around-the-world ball control tricks in 1 minute achieved by a female. The around-the-world trick means standing on one leg and keeping the ball circling the ankle of the other leg without the ball touching the floor. Craig Glenday, editor-in-chief of the Guinness World Records book, said that they've been blown away by the incredible talent and show of strength from our new record holders. Guinness World Records Day is a global celebration of record-breaking. It's a chance for anyone who wants to tick off their name in the famous Guinness World Record books, he said.
Baths and garlands for man's best friend at Nepal's Canine Festival. Hindus across Nepal honoured their dogs with baths, garlands and special treats recently on the second day of the five-day Tihar Festival, during which even crows and cows get respect. Devout Hindus consider the dog to be the messenger of Yamaraj, the god of death, and believe that worshipping the animal makes him happy. Coco Tihar is special among the different festivals, said housewife Parbati Devkota, after a worship ceremony for her pet, using the Nepali word Coco for dog. I worship my dog every year on this day, Devkota, 40, who carried a tray of sweets, flowers and vermilion powder, told Reuters in the capital, Kathmandu. Families bathed the pets, tied marigold garlands round their necks, smeared their foreheads with auspicious vermilion, and offered them special meals of sweets, meat, milk and rice. Even stray dogs got offerings of food and garlands. In Kathmandu, 47 dogs participated in a show for the occasion at the Police Canine Training Centre. It included competitions and obedience displays, such as navigating obstacles, high jumps and runs, said police official Ram Chandra Satyal. We all demonstrated how dogs are used in searching for narcotic drugs, criminals, hidden explosives, and rescue operations during disasters, he added. Hindus make up about 80% of Nepal's population of 30 million.
Staycations, beautiful bath. If you're still not sold on travelling abroad this winter, why not holiday closer to home with a city break in Bath, full of history, architecture and luxury. The UNESCO World Heritage Site of Bath is a great option for a UK-based city break, where luxurious spas, historical tales and awe-inspiring architecture are all part of the experience. The largest city in Somerset, our neighbouring county, Bath is easily accessible by road or rail, and just a couple of hours. Tempted? Here's what to miss when you're there. Warm up in a thermal spa. Bath is known for housing one of the world's best preserved Roman bathhouses, a piece of history so important that it gave the city its name. Naturally heated to around 46 degrees centigrade, the water comes from the city's hot springs, which are packed with over 40 different healing minerals. After being discovered by Prince Bladud around 863 BC, these natural spring waters became a constant theme throughout the city's history. The original Roman baths are no longer safe for swimming, but you can still book a tour around the temple and bathing complex. If you do fancy a dip, the Therme Bath Spa is right next door and uses the same mineral-rich water treated to make it safer for public use. There's no better place to warm up this winter. Indulge in a treatment or two before bathing in the rooftop pool, drinking in the views of the surrounding cityscape. Walk in Jane Austen's shoes. For any Jane Austen fan, Bath will conjure up images of the style and sophistication of the 1800s. Not only did the author live here for 5 years, but she also used the city as a setting for two of her novels, Northanger Abbey and Persuasion. You can learn more about her time in Bath at the Jane Austen Centre, where guides dressed in period costume and a Regency tea room really help bring her story to life. Take an architectural tour. Walking through Bath will take you on a journey through centuries of architectural art. After taking a liking to Bath during the 18th century, the Georgians built much of the city you'll see today. They used the famous Bath limestone to construct elaborate buildings, including the circus, the assembly rooms, the pump rooms, and the Royal Crescent, a curved row of 30 Georgian terraced houses built between 1767 and 1774, and is probably Bath's most impressive piece of architecture. Visit some museums. Bath is a treasure chest of museums and galleries. You'd need a week to visit them all. Two of the most famous are the Fashion Museum, home to over 100,000 items of clothing and footwear, and the Museum of Bath Architecture, the best place to learn about the city's distinctive Georgian structures.
A visit from St. Nicholas, Clement Clark Moore, 1779 to 1863. On December the 23rd, 1823, a poem called A Visit from St. Nicholas was published anonymously in the Sentinel, the local newspaper of Troy, New York. This piece offered a different take on Santa Claus, a figure who was, until that time, traditionally depicted as a thinner, less jolly, horse-riding disciplinarian, a combination of mythologies about the British Father Christmas, the Dutch Sinterklaas, and the 4th century bishop, St. Nicholas of Myra. But the poem in the newspaper painted a different picture. It gave Santa 8 reindeer and even named them. It described a Santa who could magically sneak in and out of homes via chimneys. And it created the venerated, cheerful, chubby icon that is ever present in holiday cards, movies, television shows, and malls everywhere. The poem, of course, is now known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, after its famous first line. 13 years after it was published, Clement Clark Moore took credit for its authorship, although his claim to the poem is now in question. Many believe the poem was actually penned by New York writer Henry Livingston. And it's read for us now by Hayden.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew in a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster to midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, and I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came. He whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof, and I drew in my head and was turning around. Down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry, his droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. but I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Well, thank you for listening. That's all for this edition. My thanks go to all our readers, to our producer Mike Flynn, and to our registrar Wendy Eagles. Thanks also to Archant Publications, One Magazine, and Reuters for the use of their copy. So until you hear from us again in our spring edition, we wish you a very happy Christmas and peaceful New Year. Stay safe. Merry Christmas, everybody!
Ho, ho, ho!